Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis here, joined here today by Dennis Butler, who's the new director of the Riley County Police Department, took over here just at the end of last year after the retirement of Brad Schoen. I had a question here for you, and this is more education for me as a new member of the media here in Manhattan, but one of the things I noticed when I came here is that whenever we do stories on different crime, mugshots aren't generally released here in Riley County Police Department, and there's a policy on that, and just wanted to get your thoughts on that and whether or not that policy will change.
You know, there's certain things that, when you say a policy will never change, there are certain things you can't change. On this topic has been brought to me a couple of times in the short period I've been here, and I have a pretty strong feeling about it, and some may disagree with it. It's really my philosophy, but I believe when someone gets arrested, they have not been convicted of anything yet. And to this is my phrase, splash their photograph out in the public when they've only been accused of something and yet to be convicted, I don't think that's an appropriate thing to do to them. Once somebody has been convicted and that mugshot has been released, you know, because the media may request it, they can always go back to their files if that person's ever arrested again and use it legitimately. But I think it's unfair. Open records, Kansas Open Records requires police departments to release certain things, and a mugshot is not one of them. And I just think it's unfair to people, I'm being redundant now, to put their photo out there because they may not be convicted of the crime for which they've been accused.
All right. Is that a common practice in police departments here in Kansas? Because I know there's other places that do release the mugshots.
Well, that is true, and I know there are some sheriff's offices that just publish them on their website so they don't have to field those inquiries, and then anybody can go and take them off. Again, it's a difference in philosophy, and I don't criticize the departments that do that. When I was in Ottawa, I didn't run the jail, and whenever we received those requests, that mugshot was not our mugshot, so we always referred them to the sheriff's office, and sometimes they release them, sometimes they didn't.
Fair enough. All right, we got a caller here on the line. Another question for Dennis Butler. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning, Dennis. Welcome to Manhattan.
Thank you.
I wanted to touch base on something that you commented on about responsiveness. Drawing on my history a number of years ago, unfortunately, I had a whole slew of violations of problems with robberies, et cetera, both at my work and at rental properties that I owned. And was frustrated greatly in that process. And one of the things that I was very aware of is I think it's every year they do a survey of what the public thinks of the police department. And it always came back with glowing opinions. But the problem with that is Joe Q Public often has no interaction with the police. You know, a very small percentage of the citizens ever get violated. And that it's a very disturbing thing if you've been robbed or raped or any of those types of traumatic things. And when in dealing with the detectives, they just didn't have very good empathy or communication. They oftentimes wouldn't return your phone calls, et cetera. And so as a method of you assessing how people are doing, I think it's important to poll the people, the population that have been violated in some way, and see how they think the police department responded to them, and to also have a policy with detectives and others that all phone calls get returned within 24 hours. When you've been violated, it's highly frustrating to not hear from the person that you're hoping will help you. And so that's an avenue I think that could be improved. And again, that was a number of years ago, but I don't know if it's the caseload on those, in this case, detectives, or just a culture thing. But when you've been violated, I think the citizens deserve good responsiveness, good communication, and resources to where there's the caseloads aren't overwhelming.
Well, I appreciate your comments. Excuse me. I'm sincere when I say, you know, when I'm interacting with a citizen that has had a concern about something or has been a crime victim, I want you to know I do my very best to put myself in their shoes, and I've done that for many years, not just as a police chief, to really try to understand and hear where they're coming from. For what it's worth, back in the mid-90s, my home was burglarized one day when I was gone for about an hour and a half, and I had a wife and two small children at the time. Now I have a wife and two grown children. But I remember how I felt coming into my house knowing that somebody that I didn't know had been going through all of my things and taking my wife's family jewelry that could never be replaced. So I have a sensitivity to what you're talking about because I've been in those shoes. I want you to know, and if any of my command staff is listening this morning, and they might be, that I've made it clear to them, and not because I thought anything was broken here, because I haven't been here long enough to know, but I've made it clear to them that it is a priority of mine, and it always has been, that we return calls to citizens or anybody else who has an inquiry, and that we're responsive to questions and needs. I can't guarantee you, however, that the calls will be returned within 24 hours because things happen. And sometimes things happen in the middle of the night and people are called in after getting a couple of hours sleep and then they end up working another full shift or more to address an unfolding serious crime. And so asking that question that you just did gives me an opportunity to also mention that. And I want you to know that I'm on my third department now, and I can tell you with all confidence that in every place I've worked, we could double the size of our detective unit, and we would need to do that to be responsive the way that every crime victim wants. It's not an excuse, but we work with the resources the community gives us, and we try to make best use of it and be responsive. But there is a mechanism in place when citizens are dissatisfied with the services they receive for us to look into it and find out what happened and try to fix it.
All right. Well, we were talking, do you have another call here? No? Okay. We were talking here during the break about you have past history as a public information officer. How important is keeping that transparent open line of communication to the public here through your website, through social media, stuff like that?
You know, it's a real balance, and it's something that I appreciate the interest in by both members of the media and the public. There's a lot of laws and rules and case law about privacy when it comes to the investigations and victim identities in certain circumstances. And I've mentioned this many times during the hiring process and since I've been here. You know, when the media asks questions, I will never lie to the media about anything that we're working on, but I will always tell them if I have the information that I have it, but it's premature to disclose it or talk about it in detail for very specific reasons, investigative reasons or privacy reasons. If it ever becomes, there becomes a time when I can share more, then I will. Being a public information officer, assistant PIO for 3 years in Alexandria really helped educate me about those issues. And building trust with the media is important because the media is often advocating for the interests of the community, and I recognize that. And you all can reach a lot more people more quickly than I can sometimes. So it is important that we have a good relationship and that you all trust me when I tell you something or when my PIO tells you something. And we have, in my opinion, a rock star of a PIO. She's out on maternity leave right now. And we have Officer Rachel Pate who's filling in for her. But when Haley Rowland gets back, I'm going to be very excited because she has got skills that I've never seen before in a PIO. We are very lucky to have her.
I would agree with that. I've had nothing but good things to say about the communications here with the Riley County Police Department since I've been here anyway. Let's take a break. Come back more with Dennis Butler when we return here on In Focus.